Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. Our lines are open. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening. In the meanwhile, I hope you'll listen and invite somebody to listen with you as well. And we're going to touch on a couple of things tonight. And boy, it's got a number of things that I want to talk about and a number of things that I need to talk about. And so we're going to get to something that we're going to talk about for sure. And hopefully you'll join in as well with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word as well. So in the meanwhile, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the radio tonight. We just pray that you would bless and use the program for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and I have a regular church services all day Sunday morning. I'm currently preaching through the book of 2 Peter and just started chapter 3, which is a fascinating chapter in 2 Peter, and then Sunday nights, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs, and we're coming down to the end of Proverbs chapter 21, and it's a challenge, really, preaching through Proverbs. It's a lot easier preaching through 1 and 2 Peter than preaching through the book of Proverbs, let me tell you. And then, of course, we have a Friday night Bible study every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, and certainly if you're in the area, we invite you to give us a visit. If you're in the area and you're looking for a church or you don't have a church where the Bible is preached and taught from, why don't you come out and join us? We'd love to have you visit. And if you're not in the area, well, if you visit sometime, come out and visit us. Also certainly listen to us on the radio here. Got a couple things I'll mention here in a moment where you can find out more about us, but our website is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out a variety of things. You can find out, obviously, a little more about me, a little bit more about the program, and also you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which I was just mentioning. And one other thing I wanted to mention, I don't always mention this, but we do have a presence on a variety of social media sites. And if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, you can link to some of those social media sites. I think currently we're maintaining a presence on Clout Hub, Facebook, Gab, Getter, MeWe, let's see, Minds, Parler, Telegram, Twitter, USA.life, YouTube, Zapit, and Truth Social. I don't think I have Truth Social listed on there, but we're on Truth Social as well. And so I invite you to check us out on those various sites. You can find us, and generally I try to post things there. The reason I post on several sites is because, especially with sites like Facebook and Twitter, well, Twitter's changing a little bit. There's been a change in the direction in Twitter here recently. But on Facebook, it's just like just this evening, I found out that one of my posts to Facebook was has a little notice appended to it warning of false information. And I was going to actually call that up because it's kind of humorous, and as soon as I can call that page up, I'll let you know exactly what the Facebook censors have said. False information checked by independent fact checkers. See why. And let's see what happens when you see why. Well, first, you can see the comment here that I made for the link that I posted that says, what prompts the left to pull things like this? Oh, yeah, there's an election coming up in a few days, and they're desperate to vilify Republicans, especially MAGA Republicans. And so you see this warning. Yeah, it was like, warning, danger, Will Robinson. And so you see why. Well, it's because the fact check says no, capital N-O, no evidence to far-right websites attributed to Pelosi attack suspect David DePape were faked. Ooh, why? Information. Independent fact checkers say this information has no basis in fact. Well, that's interesting because when you click on the article that actually I linked to there, the article is a Gateway Pundit article that says, exclusive, two far-right websites attributed to David DePape to smear conservatives were scrapped Friday and deleted. Or I'm sorry, scraped Friday, I guess that's what they said. Yeah, scraped Friday and deleted Saturday. Basically, what they're saying in the article is this guy that supposedly broke in, though usually when somebody makes a break-in and they bust the window to gain access, if they're outside the building and they bust the glass out to reach in to unlock the door, the glass is, generally speaking, on the inside of the building, not on the outside, where it was plainly visible in the pictures that are posted all over the internet. You can plainly see that the window was busted out from the inside, not busted in from the outside. But other than that, and the fact that there's cameras, security cameras, all over the place, and not one of them caught the break-in. Well, it gets interesting. But the guy that broke in, basically kind of a hippie drug addict nudist type guy that was found in his underwear fighting over a hammer with Nancy Pelosi's husband. And while they were going over that and the police came in and demanded that they release the hammer, apparently, DePape grabbed the hammer and beat Paul Pelosi with it. Now, this is just one of those stories that you just start feeling a little creeped out as you start reading. The more you read about it, you got two men in their underwear in the wee hours of the morning fighting over a hammer in the guy's bedroom. And yeah, things just don't add up here. But leaving that beside, I encourage you to check out some of the stories online that delve into that a little more in detail. But so here's this guy that supposedly is a right-wing fanatic. And two websites were there. Fox News reported on the two websites that were supposed to be attributed to this guy. They were blogs under his name that were stocked with posts from the years 2007 and 2022 and other times. Speaking of censorship, Big Brother, pedophiles, citing some of the QAnon different things and calls for violence and anti-Semitic content and all that. And these things were attributed, and some of the media ran with it, implying that this assailant is a far-right radical, and that this is a symptom. Even Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and others were out there right away claiming that this was the result of unhinged MAGA Republicans that are being goaded into violence by Donald Trump and their and the other MAGA Republican cultists out there. And, you know, so you go into all of this and you look at this, and then you find out something interesting. There's a interesting site called the Wayback Machine, which oftentimes you can find websites and a history of when they appeared and when they disappeared. Because if you try to go to the websites today, one was godsloving.wordpress.com, and the other was friendlyfriends.com. Slash blog, I think, or something like that. These websites did not exist a year ago, 10 years ago at all. They appeared on Friday morning, and they disappeared Saturday. And the evidence is there, the screenshots from the Internet Wayback Machine showing when both of these sites appeared on October the 23rd, I believe it was, or no, October the 28th and October the 29th is when it disappeared. Both these sites appeared the 28th and disappeared the 29th. So I posted a link to this article, and of course, you know, the Facebook fact checkers, who were so thorough and so accurate, if you can detect a little bit of sarcasm there, yes, in their thing, said there's no evidence that this occurred. Well, yes, when you ignore the evidence that's posted in the very article that I linked, and you look at the evidence from the screenshots from the Wayback, Internet Wayback Machine, and you see the evidence. Well, when you ignore the evidence, then obviously there's no evidence. And so they put a big false information warning on my post because, after all, there's nobody that has been able to find any basis for this in fact. Well, they just don't like it because I think what happened here personally is that this is an attempt. It's very curious. It's just a few days. We're just over a week from the election, and we're seeing all this nonsense taking place. What prompts people? And in fact, that's what I said in the thing in the first place. You know, they mark it false. They say there's no evidence because they ignore the evidence that's clearly there. But what does prompt people to say things like this? What prompts them right away to vilify Republicans, especially conservative Republicans who want to make America great again? I don't know why that's so evil. And why is it that the media runs with a story like this, and then the complicit useful idiots, and that's a term from the Cold War, look it up, the useful idiots in the media run with this, or I'm sorry, in big tech, are more than willing to ignore the evidence and claim that there's no evidence whatsoever. Proverbs 5, verse 22 says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." You know, I think there's reasons for this. It's because the election's coming up. Back in September, we played some clips, and one of them was a clip from Joe Biden's infamous totalitarian speech in front of Philadelphia with the blood red background, where he basically said, if you do not agree with him on abortion on demand up until the moment of birth, and if you don't agree with him on same-sex marriages, which is what he meant in this clip, then you are essentially an enemy of the state. Let's listen to this, and this is why I think we see stories like this and the media is complicit. They're taking their marching orders from people like Joe Biden.
Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. We're all called by duty and conscience to confront extremists who put their own pursuit of power above all else. Democrats, independents, mainstream Republicans, we must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving American democracy than MAGA Republicans are to destroying American democracy. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
You know, this is the type of inflammatory rhetoric that has incited violence against pro-life organizations, against churches, since that infamous speech. It's not Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans that are egging this on, and it's this type of rhetoric that makes the media willing to go along with this. Even some of our people that are running for office are embracing this. Here in Ohio, we have a battle for Senate, and Senator Rob Portman is retiring, and we have a race between the Republican, J.D. Vance, and his Democrat opponent, Tim Ryan. They're vying for what amounts to an open seat, and it'll have a major effect on the direction of the United States Senate. And here's a comment that Tim Ryan, running for United States Senate, had to say.
The answers will come from Republicans. It's not the extremists that we're dealing with every single day. We've got to kill and confront that movement. We've got to kill and confront that movement.
Yes, we have to kill and confront that movement. You know, Saul Alinsky, he wrote a book, you might have heard about it, called Rules for Radicals, which of course was dedicated to the first radical, which is Lucifer. It's right there in the beginning of the book. I've read it. I encourage you to read it. Saul Alinsky certainly was not a MAGA Republican. He shared the same values as Tim Ryan. He shared the same values as Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, all these other ones. In fact, I believe Barack Obama used to teach and some of Saul Alinsky's material, and even Hillary Clinton did a paper in college on his material. So, he's a well-known person, but conservatives need to read his book as well, Rules for Radicals. It's not a long book to read. It's easy to read. And you will see in there what's going on, because they typically accuse us of doing what they're doing. They accuse us of what they're guilty of. And that makes it a little easier to understand why the media was so willing to run with this. Well, again, it's because we are in the midst of a spiritual battle, as Paul said to the Ephesians. We are fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, it's not only in the high places, it's in the mid-level places, and it's in the lower-level places. And when you see some of the things that are happening, everything from local school boards and village and city councils all the way up through the state government and the federal government, it's easy to know that we are in a spiritual battle. So I want to encourage you to pray for our nation during this time. We've got just over a week, and November the 8th is our election. And there's a lot of people. We were having a conversation at church today. There are people who aren't 100% sure that something isn't going to happen between now and election day. I choose to be optimistic. Even though the election may take place, and all of the surveys, all of the polling, all of the studies indicate that it's not just going to be a win for the Republicans, it's going to be a tsunami for the Republicans. In races all across the country, local, county, state, and federal races. And there's reasons for it. If you've been to the gas pump lately, that's a good reason for a lot of people leaning Republican in the election. If you've been to the grocery store lately, that's a good reason that a lot of people are leaning Republican. And we see all of this happening, and a lot of people are afraid there's going to be some kind of false flag. And that's what makes the whole incident with Paul Pelosi kind of curious, that it came up when it did, and right away they try to smear Republicans. Yeah, it's just like we're seeing ads here locally in Ohio. I'm Frank. I'm a registered Republican, and I'm voting Democrat because I can't stand election deniers. You know, of course, you know, the Democrats were notorious for denying the elections in the presidential election when George W. Bush was elected both times. They were notorious for denying the election when Donald Trump was elected president. They've got a long history of being election deniers. And so if the guy's really a registered Republican and he's really upset about election deniers, he'd be voting Republican. But again, let me encourage you, pray for the elections coming up on November 8th. And please, please get out and vote. And as I tell people, let me tell you how to vote in the election. We'll be talking about this again next week. Vote your biblical values. And mentioning it this week because, just to remind you, get out and vote on November the 8th and vote your biblical values. And if you're going to vote according to your biblical values, I'm confident we will see a red tsunami in the November 8th election. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a couple other things I want to mention. We'll get to our phone calls too here. Just a reminder as well, we have our D-Day prayer edition celebration taking place in Washington, D.C., and that is, let's see, actually, that reminds me, we're going to get a caller here, hopefully, if not this week, maybe later on. I'm just trying to think, that was going to talk about this a little bit more, but let me just give you some information on that. The D-Day prayer celebration in Washington, D.C. at the World War II Memorial on Veterans Day, November the 11th at 11:30 a.m. If you are going to be in the D.C. area, or if you're interested in attending this celebration, you're welcome to join us. We are going to be there. And as I said, it's 11:30 at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And present, of course, is going to be a variety of people. We have Bob France, who is the is going to be the MC of the event. Senator Portman, who spearheaded this in the Senate, and Representative Bill Johnson, who headed it up in the House, are going to be there, and they are going to be sharing some of the things that took place with that. We've got World War II reenactors and other guests that are going to be there. Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance, who is the one who originated the idea of the prayer addition to the World War II Memorial. He will be sharing on that. And then author and historian Bill Federer will be there with us as well. And following the D-Day prayer edition celebration at 11:30, Bill Federer is going to lead us on a walking tour, not only of the World War II Memorial in the Circle of Remembrance where the prayer is currently being installed, but he's also going to lead us on a tour of the Vietnam War Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, and we're going to finish up at the Lincoln Memorial. Now, if you're in northeastern Ohio, there is a charter bus that is going to be running from Wadsworth, Ohio. And so if you're in northeastern Ohio and you're interested in riding that bus, go online to the ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org. And click on the link there. That'll take you to the form to sign up for the bus trip. The bus trip will cover... Well, the cost of the bus trip will cover not only the bus trip, but also your hotel room. We're going to leave Wadsworth, Ohio at 11 o'clock on Thursday, November the 10th. We're going to head to D.C., get into D.C. later that evening. We're going to check into the hotel. I believe it's the Holiday Inn there across from the Reagan National Airport. We're going to spend the night there. The bus will collect us in the morning, take us to the World War II Memorial, and then the bus will be waiting for us at the Lincoln Memorial to bring us back to Ohio late that night, probably about midnight or so. So if you're interested, check it out at ddayprayerproject.org. And even if you're not going to be riding the bus and you want to know about the program and more information about it, go to ddayprayerproject.org. You can also go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. And find out more about that. Last I heard, there's about 20-some seats left on the bus, and there's a number of people that are talking about signing up here this weekend and in the coming week. So those seats could go fast. So if you're interested in riding the bus, be sure and check that out and sign up. You can do that right now if you want to. Well, of course, you should listen to us on the radio and then do that. But the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration on Veterans Day at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Hope to see you there. All right, as I said, I'll be there myself. So, at any rate, let's see. What else do I have to mention? All these things coming up. And, of course, you can give us a call tonight at toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll talk about a variety of things. I've even got, since tomorrow is Halloween, I've got a couple biblical ghost stories that we can get into even. And but in the meanwhile, I think we're going to take our first caller. And I believe Nancy's been holding the longest. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you for taking my call. This isn't my topic that I wanted to cover, but do you think that because there's so many crooked things with the Biden administration, do you think that possibly the so-called skull fracture is misinformation, and that they possibly hired a crooked doctor just to make the injury look worse than it is? Do you think it's possible that they could pull that off?
I'm sorry, I missed what you said. That what is faked or something?
Do you think that the so-called skull fracture that Paul...
Oh, skull fracture. I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said. Yeah, Paul Pelosi. Yeah. I mean, it's entirely possible. I mean, It appears that there was a spat between these two men, and they were fighting over the hammer, and it was when the police were there that the guy whacked Pelosi on the head with a hammer. So it may well have happened, but at the same time, I wouldn't put it past them to fake the thing to gain the sympathy vote, because they're desperate to blunt the surge of Republicans on Election Day, and they think that blaming this on a MAGA Republican is going to make people avoid the Republicans, because they'll think like Joe Biden in the clips that we played of him, that this proves that Republicans, especially MAGA Republicans, are just what he said we are: wicked, evil, violent enemies of the state. So, so I wouldn't put it past them faking it, but I don't doubt that that there was some altercation that took place. And it wouldn't take much to whack somebody in the head with a hammer to have a skull fracture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
the glass, the plate glass window was hammered from the inside out. That's really suspicious.
Yeah. I mean, it's very evident because the glass is all over on the outside. And no security camera, and there were security cameras there, caught anybody breaking in. So somebody busted the glass out, thinking it would make people think there was a break-in. But we didn't get to your question yet, did we? Nancy, still there? We'll hold on Nancy there. We didn't get to her question just yet. We were talking about a couple other things, but stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll stick with us. Our toll-free number, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. We're brought to you tonight. Our primary sponsor, of course, is my home church where I pastor, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, and you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. Wanted to mention something else. I was looking at my things I was mentioning in the last half hour, and one other small item that I neglected to mention at the start of the program is that for our listeners in northeastern Ohio, this will not apply in Tampa to our listeners on Faith Talk Tampa. This won't apply for you folks, but this will apply for our listeners here on the Word, AM 1220, the Word here in northeastern Ohio. But starting on November the 13th, we are going to be expanding into the 10 o'clock hour. We'll actually start at 10 o'clock on Sunday nights, and we will go till midnight. So the way it'll work is that we will be 10 to 11 here on 1220, the Word, only. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to add Faith Talk in Tampa on with us, and we'll be simulcast in both the Cleveland and Tampa areas. And so pray for us. It's a great opportunity, and it expands our ability to have some guests and stuff on, especially some things here for more in northeastern Ohio in the first, what will become the first half of the program. But that's November the 13th. Join us at 10 p.m. if you're here in the Cleveland area. And then, of course, in Tampa, we will still be joining with you at 11 o'clock and still go until midnight. So we look forward to having you there. And, of course, all of those programs will be recorded, and they will be available at our website, livewithpastoral.com. So even if you're in the Tampa area and you don't hear the 10 o'clock hour, they will be available online, as are our programs from Friday at 1:30. We have a half-hour program every Friday, 1:30 to 2 o'clock here in northeastern Ohio. And those are also available online at livewithpastoral.com. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our callers here. We were talking with Nancy there, and we came up on the break, and Nancy had a question that wasn't her original question, but we wanted to get back to her to get to her original question. So, Nancy, are you there with us?
Yes, I am, Pastor Al.
Yes.
That's very exciting about being on for 2 hours starting November 13th. Wow. That's amazing.
Well, it'll have its share of challenges, and I appreciate everybody's prayers for us. Not only filling up another hour, which I'm confident we can do, but also means I got to get out of church in time to get home and get some stuff together that I can get up here and leave a little earlier. And of course, it's going to cost a little more money to do it as well. But we're confident that the Lord will. He made the time slot possible. We're confident that He'll make the rest of it possible.
Well, that's amazing. So, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you. And my topic tonight is regarding Elon Musk, who totally fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
We all know him, owner of Twitter. He calls himself the Chief Twit.
that's funny.
His two top executives, and then he made some kind of a statement, and he said, "Let that sink in." And here he goes and carries a sink across the, the screen. He's really a character, but very confident and a total genius. From my understanding, he is the CEO or the inventor of Tesla car and SpaceX, some kind of space exploration. But my comment tonight. Is that I believe he's really a champion of liberty, of freedom of speech. And I found one verse in the Bible, Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it appears that the Bible does champion the idea of freedom of speech, but I am just absolutely amazed at how bold Elon Musk is. And I was just curious, do you know anything about his faith? Is he a Christian or humanist, or are you familiar with his faith?
I really don't know. It's kind of interesting. I don't know. I have no pretense necessarily that he's a born-again Christian. Our church actually has him on our list of people that we pray for their salvation.
Oh.
Because we really believe that in order for people to get saved, people have to be praying for them, and then the Spirit of God will move on their heart and open them up to the truths of the gospel message. But here's the thing about Elon Musk, and if I can say this, it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but it is an accurate statement. It's surprising that the left-leaning media is so upset when an African-American billionaire took over Twitter. And people are going to right away bristle and say, Elon Musk is not an African-American. He's white. Do you know where Elon Musk was born?
Yeah, South Africa.
Pretoria, South Africa. What continent is South Africa on? South Africa is on the continent of Africa. He was born in Africa. He came to the United States, became an American. He's an African American. Of course, so is somebody that's born in Egypt that comes to America as well, you know, because Egypt, last I looked, was on the north coast of Africa. It's Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where this statement gets a little wacky because, you know, they only apply it to certain ones. But having said that, this is what got me thinking about this. South Africa, the major church there is the Anglican Church. And it appears, and I'm just looking at something while we're talking here, it appears that that Elon Musk was baptized into the Anglican Church. Of course, they baptize infants, which doesn't do anything for the child other than getting them wet. Because in order to be baptized scripturally, according to the Bible, you must give a profession of your faith, and an infant cannot do that. So Elon Musk might have been raised nominally as a Anglican, and so he may identify as a Christian, but we do pray for his salvation. Yeah, so I guess we can be technical, and we can say that Elon Musk is a South African American billionaire that took over Twitter, and they're starting to make some changes, and it is interesting. But yeah, he owns Tesla, like you said, and he also owns SpaceX, and now he has acquired Twitter. And my understanding is that he brought in some of his engineers and such that he had at Tesla over, and they are going through the Twitter algorithms and figuring out exactly what makes Twitter tick, or maybe I should say what makes Twitter tweet. And they are no doubt going to find some things out, because remember, originally he was trying to become the majority stockholder, and then found out in the course of that Twitter was not exactly being honest with the number of people who are using their services. Turns out they have a lot of bots, which means, you know, programs that are automated programs that AIs and such that were sort of masquerading as users. And so their numbers really weren't quite what they were representing. And so anyway, he's bought them out now. So it is going to be rather interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks. He's already talking about no longer banning people from Twitter for life, which brings out the possibility that Donald Trump may be back on Twitter. Of course, Donald Trump was banned for life previously. The previous owners of or operators of Twitter, because you know, of his vicious language and character. Although Vladimir Putin, whose hands are dripping with blood over in Russia, is still on Twitter, and I'm not talking about the Ukraine thing. I'm talking about his whole career. I've had conversations with people. I'm on neither side, Ukraine or Russia. I think the whole thing is a distraction, and it's bleeding this country dry in terms of our money. We're spending billions, sending billions of dollars over there. Where's it going to, other than Hunter Biden and 10% for the big guy, which is Joe Biden? And we're also, another thing people don't realize is we're sending a bunch of our weapons over there and depleting supplies in that respect. And it just seems like the globalists are using both Russia and the Ukraine to focus people's attention on what's happening there, not to look at what's happening in the Middle East with Israel and the things that are taking place there and the buildup, which is going to set the stage for the Ezekiel 38 invasion led by Russia. And Ukraine will be a part of that group that goes in. So I don't really personally believe that Ukraine eventually is going to be ultimately successful in their fight. Eventually, they're going to be absorbed in one way or the other. You know, Belarus is mobilizing their forces on the north of Ukraine and other things. And, of course, Putin keeps threatening the use of tactical nuclear weapons and escalating in that respect. And then we had the threat of a dirty bomb where he accused the Ukrainians of devising a dirty bomb. The Ukrainians said, no, it's false flag. The Russians are the ones who are really doing it and trying to blame it on us and going back and forth. Everybody's looking over there. But other things that this is doing is it is causing the potential for a worldwide, a global food shortage. Outright famine in some places because the wheat that is grown in the Ukraine that really supplies much of the Middle East is not being allowed to be shipped. And anybody who's been involved in farming, you know, you just can't throw the wheat on a barge or on a boat and then just let it sit out there forever. You need to move it along. Now, wheat will obviously last a little longer than say, tomatoes or cabbages. But at the same time, you know, it's not going to last forever, and it needs to get to the moving through the system to make it to the markets. There are people in Africa and the Middle East who are dependent on the wheat from Ukraine, and a lot of them are not going to get that. And not only that, the fertilizer shortage that we're seeing. The way that we are able to produce the food that we produce in this country, and indeed in Canada and parts of Europe, is because of the fertilizer that we use. And a lot of that fertilizer comes from Russia and the Ukraine, and it's not being produced. This is going to pave the way for reduced harvests next year. And it's going to be compounding problems. Then there's the urea that is used to make what's called Blue DEF, DEF, diesel exhaust fluid. And it's an additive that goes into the diesel engines. It's required. And some of the newer engines, I guess, have to have it in order to run properly. And we're having a shortage of that. And because the Biden administration is selling off our strategic oil reserve, and a bunch of it's been sold to Canada or to China, we're running out of diesel fuel, which is what moves our agricultural products. And just move the agricultural products. It's what's responsible for our farming industry. You need diesel fuel and gasoline in order to prepare the fields, plant the fields, cultivate the fields, harvest the fields, and then ship the agricultural products to the markets. And without diesel, without gasoline, it doesn't get done.
Do you know where diesel fuel comes from? Because I hear on the news that we only have a 25-day supply. But I didn't know where it came from.
Well, it should be coming, and it could be coming from our country. Just a couple of years ago, we were the world's largest producer. Us and Canada combined were the largest producers of petroleum, and we were exporting it to the world. We have tons of petroleum under the ground. That's where diesel comes from. The first thing that the Biden administration did was shut down the pipelines, and Biden himself said that he was going to kill the fossil fuel industry. And, Nancy, I just looked at the clock and realized that Terry's waiting patiently, too. But when we look at this, you know, the globalists know what they're doing. They're furthering us along the path to global crisis, which is going to pave the way for a globalist to come in with their global government. The World Economic Forum and the UN are working closely together. In many cases, the people that are in the UN are also in the World Economic Forum. They are working hand in hand. They're using both Russia and Ukraine in their efforts to destabilize the world and bring the point where the world will turn to them for a one-world leader, a one-world government. We already see the movement to make a one-world religion, a one-world global economic system, and it's all paving the way for what's going to transpire during the seven-year tribulation period when the Antichrist comes to power and rules over the world. So a lot to pray about, and this election is important in terms of hindering their efforts here, at least in the United States. So, Nancy, thanks for calling in tonight. I need to get to Terry, and we'll talk to Nancy again, I'm sure, in the future. But, Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor.
Hi, good evening. And we'll be able to get you on a little earlier when we go to our 10 o'clock hour.
I was just talking about that last week, eh? Because
yeah.
You came on earlier.
Well, there we are.
I guess you're going to start at 10.
Yes.
That'll be good.
Yeah. So, but good to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, I was just listening in to everything, pretty well, a lot of stuff that you were saying. Yeah, that was a mouthful.
Well, there's just so much going on
in America.
Yeah, there's just so much going on right now. You know, when we look at all these leaders, you know, Trudeau in Canada and Pelosi and Biden and the different ones here in the United States that are all working hand in hand with the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, I heard about what happened to Biden's husband. Or sorry.
Yeah, Biden's husband. There we go. Yeah, Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband. Yeah. You know, there's a variety of sources of information on it. The Gateway Pundit has a number of articles where they've delved into this from the very first time the story was coming out to the first police press conference and a follow-up press conference and different things. They've been getting a good bit of information out, including the one that I was telling about in the last half hour that Facebook decided was false information because there's no basis to show that there were two faked websites, even though the article itself has screenshots of the Wayback Machine, Internet Wayback Machine, showing the creation of the two fake websites and the fact that they were created on Friday morning and disappeared the following Saturday. So it's you just can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, that infamous speech, I read that twice.
Uh-huh.
About Biden.
Yes. And, well,
you know, some things that he failed to mention is fire bombings, pro-life crisis, pregnancy centers, assassination attempts on Brett Kavanaugh. And Biden really wanted all the moral clarity this nation can muster against political violence. His Justice Department wouldn't be cutting sweetheart deals with the political protesters who threw Molotov cocktails into the police car during a riot.
Like, oh, absolutely. You know, and still, out of the over 100 confirmed attacks on pro-life centers and churches that take pro-life stands by the pro-death crowd. To this date, the United States Justice Department has investigated, to my knowledge, a grand total of zero of those cases. The FBI's even seized some video evidence that's made it unavailable to local law enforcement and to others that might pursue it. And yet they've gone after people who were protesting against abortion with SWAT teams in the early hours of the morning and leading them out in handcuffs. But they won't touch the people who actually were firebombing, as I said, the pro-life centers and disrupting churches and attacking churches and defacing churches. So, yeah, it's of course, that speech in September of Joe Biden really set the stage for a lot of this and okayed a lot of this. They're accusing us of doing what they're actually doing. And that's happening here. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in Europe. It's happening around the world because the forces of darkness are on the move. And that's why we need to be in prayer, don't we?
Yeah, we also need to look up for a redemptive draw of knife.
Absolutely. I was talking about that at church tonight there in Luke chapter 21. This has just been kind of my go-to passage here of late when I see the things that are happening. Jesus talks about what's going to happen during the tribulation, and as he goes through this list of things and describes what's going to happen, he says in verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass. So he's saying, You don't have to be there yet. You're going to see the foreshadowing of these things when they begin to come to pass. He says, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that is encouraging to me because I see these things beginning to come to pass. And this tells me that my redemption, meaning the time that the Lord is going to catch me and other believers up to be with him in heaven, is drawing nigh, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's exciting. Hey, I was preaching in 2 Peter chapter 3, and here it says in chapter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first that there shall come, chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, that's evidently not a true statement because there was this little thing called the flood in, you know, in the early chapters of Genesis, chapter 6,
yes.
7, 8, things change considerably from the beginning of creation. There are other events such as, you know, the giving of the Ten Commandments and maybe a little person by the name of Jesus Christ that came into the world and changed the world. Things are not the same as they were from the beginning of creation. And the time is ripe for the return of Christ. And scoffers, you know, scoff all they want to, but again, they're very much a part of the evidence that our redemption draws nigh, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, hey, I hear the music coming, Terry, and I know we're coming up on the end of the program here. Final thought before we go?
Just, once again, look up.
Absolutely.
Turn your life over to Jesus.
Absolutely. This is time more than ever to be sure of your salvation, to know for sure that you're saved, and then after you know that you're saved, live for him. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Thanks for listening. We're out of time tonight. Join us next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.